Second Timothy chapter 2. Read from verse 10. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Verse 15 again, it says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I want us to read in 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 1, 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12, 1 Timothy 1 12, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We read from verse 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 from verse 1. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before, and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel. Even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. I want you to take particular note of verse 4. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. Eternal Father, I ask that in this very moment you will bring unto us your counsel fresh from the womb of the Spirit, that we might be mobilized in our spirits, that we might be mobilized in all of our faculties unto the assignment for which you have reserved us for such a time as this. I pray, Lord, that your voice will resound through the recesses of the souls of men and enter into the spirits of the same, so that our profiting in the days to come might appear unto all. And I ask, O God, that at the end of this service, everyone that you have ordained for such a time as this, for revelation and manifestation, you will kindle a fire upon that which you have been gathering and that over which you have been brooding in the past few couple of months, Lord, we ask that this service will serve as a platform. We give you opportunity for activation, that this service will give you opportunity for energization, that this service will give you opportunity to breathe afresh upon men and women so that we might receive the ordinance and the unction and the mercies of God that are required for the challenges of the world unto which you have called us, that by our own labors it will be true that the kingdoms of our territories are becoming the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, and that eventually you might come to reign forever. For thine is the kingdom, and thine is the power, and thine is the glory forever and ever, in Jesus' name. Now, I want you to notice very quickly from the passage that we read, the last passage that we read, that ministry is a trust. The work of God is a trust. And into that trust, nobody qualifies in the terms of merit for that trust. He said, I thank the Lord. I thank the Lord. But as we were allowed of God, he said, as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak. Not as pleasing men, but God which tried our heart. But as we were allowed, of God to be put in trust with the gospel, as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, as we were allowed. And the moment the apostle used the word we, he's already talking about a differentiation. He's introducing a categorization by saying we were allowed. He's simply saying to you that even though we were allowed, there's a set of people that are not part of this we. And whereas we were allowed, they were disallowed. There is an allowance in the spirit by which a man is enabled to do the work of God. Nobody does ministry because he has gone to a Bible school. There is an allowance. We were allowed. As I read through scripture, I see that the ways of God indeed are past finding out. There was that day that Jesus Christ was going through the cities and he saw a man and said to the man, young man, come and follow me. And the man said to Jesus, let me first. And I said, how do you call a man Lord and say me first? He said, Lord, let me first. How is he Lord if you are first? And he gave his excuse. And when he gave his excuse, Jesus kept going on. Then another young man came to Jesus and said to him, sir, I will follow you. And Jesus said to the man, you know what? Foxes have holes. Birds have nests. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He was simply trying to discourage the young man. But this was the same Jesus that came to a man and said, come and follow me. Another person came to Jesus and volunteered his service. And Jesus discouraged him. He said, because ministry is by allowance. Ministry is by allowance. Every time that you see a person that is called into ministry, who's got chips on his shoulders, that person does not understand the first things about the terrain into which the Lord has called him. A medical doctor maybe may have reasons to be proud. A lawyer maybe may have reasons to be proud. An engineer maybe may have reasons to be proud. But a minister has no such reasons. Because how that you became a minister is by an allowance of the Spirit. As we were allowed to be put in trust with the gospel. And I can bet you that there are a lot of persons out there, even in the church, unto which it is not given. Because certain things in the Spirit can only be given
And if it is not given, there is nothing you can do about it. Jesus said to his disciples, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. That seeing they may see, yet they will not perceive. Hearing they may hear, but they will not understand. Lest at any time they should be converted. And I said, what? So Jesus Christ was deliberately ministering to a certain set of persons in ways that he knows that at the end of the day, they will not be able to maximize the ministry that he has done in their midst. Why? Because he said, unto them it is not given. But unto you it is given. I want to say to you, particularly our graduates this morning, that every calling and every ordination of God is on the exclusive, is by the exclusive generosity of God himself. There is nothing that a man can do. There is nothing that a man knows how to do that is sufficient to grant a man admissibility into the realms whereof the Lord intends to bring us. Paul said, as a minister, he understood his ministry as a co-worker, as a co-laborer together with God. And you may not understand the depth of the privilege that Paul was talking about. This means that what God himself is doing, God has given men like Paul opportunity to partake in the work that God is doing on the face of the earth. And in case you think that's just, that's work. God is working and he calls us to work with him. No, this is serious business, because soul business is the most serious business on the face of the earth. The soul of a man, the Bible says that what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? That simply means that the soul of a man is priceless. That means that the whole of the world and everything that therein is not sufficient if you were to give it up as payment to rescue the soul of one person. If the soul of man is that serious and God is in the business of, God is in soul business. You know the terms, in the way in which I'm using the word soul. I'm using the word soul representative of the person. Of the person, if God is in soul business and God calls you to join him in that business, it means that the most important thing that God is doing on the face of the earth, God gives men opportunity to join him in the most critical, most important venture that God is engaged with on the face of the earth. No man takes this honor to himself except he that was called of God. Even as Aaron was called. And you see, when Aaron was going to be called, he didn't keep vigil while the other 11 slept. No. It is an election of grace. They simply asked them, let everybody bring their rod, and one for each tribe. They brought those rods and kept them in the presence of the Lord. Nobody left from that place to go bribe God and say, God, please make sure it is my rod. No. They all went back to sleep, and they woke up at the next morning, and one of the rod had budded. One of the rods had budded, and it was that of the Levitical tribe. And by the budding of that rod, that was how that tribe was allowed of God to be put in trust with the ministry. Everything else that we do preparatory for effectiveness in ministry is on the foundation of God allowing us to come into that territory. I hope you know that there are professors of theology that do not know God. There are professors of theology that do not know God. I hope you know that some of the people that have labored academically, theologically, to give us some of the tools that we use in our own Bible study, some of those same people don't know God. Some of the people that did studies in the original language, in Hebrew, in Greek, and in the languages of the ancient Near East, and did a lot of studies in archaeology, did a lot of studies in language, did a lot of study in history, the history of the first century ancient Near East. Several of those people did many of the things they did academically, but on the basis of their academic labors, God decides sometimes to bring to you light and illumination and revelation. resurrection. But the men that did the primary labors upon which you are seeing Rema, many of those men, they don't know God. Because certain things in the spirit are only given. Are you with me? Are you with me? I want to say to you this morning that we must not take it lightly. That God calls us to labor with him. We must not take it lightly. That's the first point I want to make. That your calling is an election of grace. Your ordination is an ordination of grace. You are not the best, you are not the brightest, you are not the biggest, you are not the most desirous. There were many people that longed and desired. There were people that fasted. There were people that prayed. But God has decided that they without us should not be made perfect. And many of them died in hope. They died in hope. They saw it afar off. But unto them it was not given to handle the substance of that which they had longed, which the Holy Ghost had planted in their spirit. But you and I have been called to be partakers of the power of a kingdom that is yet to come. You and I have been called and we have been blessed. You know that you did not apply to God to be born in the century and dispensation of time into which you were born. So much so that all of the most important decisions of your life were taken without consultation with you. God had predetermined, according to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 17, the times of everybody's existence on the face of the earth and the boundaries of our habitation, if that we might seek after him and feel after him and find him, even though he is not far from every one of us. For of course, it is in him that we live. It is in him that we move. It is in him that we have our being. Yet, the one that has all that creation, do you know what life would have been for you if you were born in a different dispensation? It may be the case that they said unto you, we did not expect you, you were unplanned. It may be the case that they said unto you, you were illegitimate. It may be the case that they said unto you, that you were born out of due season. It may be the case that they said unto you, that you were born as a result of extramarital affairs. But can I tell you, people of God, there is nobody that showed up on the face of the earth who took God by surprise. If God didn't want you, you won't be here. If God didn't want you, you won't be here. It takes more than being married to be a parent. And it takes more than being married rightly, even, to have children. Children, they are the gift of the Lord. He did not say children born in a proper home. Children, they are the gift of the Lord. Anytime they showed up, that was a gift. What about the circumstance of their birth? I personally believe that there are no illegitimate children. You may have illegitimate parents, but not illegitimate children. Because a child does not apply to be born. It is parents that are responsible for the coming into the world at the natural level of children. And if there is any blame to assign, it cannot be to the child. If there is any blame to assign, it has to be with the people that were responsible, naturally speaking, for the coming into the world of that child. By that, I'm trying to say to you this morning that you better forget about whining about how you came and where you came from and how that you are here. You better throw aside all of the pity party that the enemy is tempted to get you to organize and say to yourself, I know that my Redeemer liveth. If God didn't want me, I won't be here. You have gone through enough for you to have been dead, for you to still be alive. Some of you don't even have the slightest idea how that even the devil wonders how you have made it this far. You are here because you have been allowed. Help me tell your neighbor, you are here because you have been allowed. It's by allowance. Rich men die. I hope you know. Rich men die. Even your life is by allowance. Rich men die. Educated men die. Privileged men die. People die in the first world every now and then. There is no explanation that is sufficient to account for who you are and where you are, except that you have been allowed of God. And if you know that you have been allowed of God, then you are in good company. Now I can say to you a few things. Why are you here? God has allowed you to go through this period of scholarship, all-around scholarship. You have been drilled academically. You've been drilled mentally. You've been drilled socially. You have been drilled spiritually. To what end? To what end? Every time that we do this in recognition of something that we already know that God is doing. There is nothing that we can do that we stand if we are not doing what God is doing. And so your graduation, your commissioning, whatever it is on the strength of the fact that we already sense that the hand of the Lord is upon you in a certain direction. And in order to prepare you for that, that is what we do, what we do. Nobody can untwist God into an ordination. You cannot educate yourself into an ordination. Are you with me? You cannot educate yourself into an ordination. So now that we know that it is by allowance, I want every one of you to know that whatever it is that the Lord lays upon your heart, it is by the exclusive discretion of His Majesty. God has decided before the foundations of the earth that you will be revealed in the course of time. At such a time as the time in which we're revealed. And the same God had gone ahead to decide before the foundations of the earth, the exact circumstance of your birth. And He has gone ahead to decree the kind of thing He wants to achieve with your life. The goal that He will score with your life. The point that He will make with your life. And the duty that behoves you when you come into understanding is to prepare yourself to be the person that you already know God intends for you to be. That's why we do what we do. There is nobody that can call another person into things spiritual. Are you with me? Nobody can call a man into the ministry. Nobody can call a man into spiritual office. Nobody can call a man into the things of the spirit. If you ever got there, it was because you were allowed. And I wish I had time this morning. I'll let you know that there are a lot of persons that will give everything, to have the kind of privilege that God gives to you. The things that God has said to you in your spirit. The things that the Lord has written upon the canvas of your heart. The things that you meditate upon. The things that you are looking forward to. The thing that gets you to get up in the morning and know that it cannot be over. Because every time that the enemy comes to say to you, it's over, you know you are not quite worth anything. You remember the visions, the dreams, the promises, the covenants, the commitments that God has made unto you. And you say, but you know what? This has not yet come to pass. This has not yet come to pass. This has not yet come to pass. If God said this and that and this other one unto me, and I've not yet seen this and that and this other one, then Satan, I guess you are a liar, because God is too righteous to raise a false hope in a human heart. If God said it, God is committed to it. And I pray that somebody under the sound of my voice will believe the word of God enough to dare the devil and take your destiny by storm. Maybe you've not been told God does not gossip. God does not gossip. There's a reason why God comes to us and gives us premonitions about the things that God will do in our lives in the future time. It is because He expects that by those things we will war a good warfare. And it is silly when you doubt in the dark what you were told in the light. God does not gossip. Therefore, the deliveries of God. Because as I see several of you, I see dreams that are about to die. I see dreams. I see files that have gathered dust. I see writings that are becoming blurred. Because men and women are giving into the spirit of discouragement and to the whispers of darkness that are saying unto you, haven't you failed enough time enough? Haven't you failed enough time enough? There are persons under the sound of my voice this morning that are wondering at all if this whole spiritual thing we are talking about, if it's worth it. There are even persons under the sound of my voice that occasionally relapse now into those moments of some form of agnosticism. They are doubting, this God thing we are doing, is it real? Is God there? That devil is a liar. Never you doubt in the dark what the Lord told you in the light. Never you doubt in the dark what the Lord said to you in the light. For the vision is for an appointed time. And even though it tarries, your obligation is to wait for it. Because it will surely come. The vision will come. Because he that will come will also come. So I don't know what it is that the Lord said to you. I don't know what it is that the enemy is trying to trade with you on. If it was not so important, Satan will not be bothered about it. The reason why the enemy comes to you and challenges you and tests you and asks you questions and bothers you to see if it's really true, if it's really true. For God's sake, if it is not true, what's the fuss about it? If it is not true, so be it. You see, if something is not going to happen, it's not going to happen. If the enemy knows that it's not going to happen, it will not be a matter for discussion. Because he knows that it's not going to happen anyway. You are just living in a fool's paradise. The fact that the enemy comes repeatedly to bother you and to prod you on and to castigate you and to mock you and to prune you and to make you feel like, you know, is it real? Is it not real? Is it real? Is it not real? Will it happen? Will it not happen? The very fact that the enemy comes to challenge what you hold there in your spirit means that there's something there that Satan is afraid of. You know, there are people you don't bother about. There are about 7 point something billion people on the face of the earth. And the bulk majority of them are not a challenge to you. The only reason why somebody is a threat to you is because there is a way in which that person has capacity to change the actual outcomes of your life. Otherwise, they don't matter. I know a lot of people that you don't know. And it doesn't affect your life in any way that you don't know them. There are so many people on the face of the earth, you don't bother with them. The people you bother with are people that are a bother indeed to your life or have capacity to be so. If you are not so important, why is the devil not letting you rest? A devil whose time is short comes after you and you think it's for nothing. There is an allowance of God. There is an allowance of God that the enemy smells from a distance. And it's on account of that which the enemy perceives from a distance that the enemy is trying to lay traps for you and send people into your life and send men into your life, send women into your life, send troubles into your life. But you need to set your face like a flint. Set your face like a flint. I need to say to you that there's a limit to what the enemy can do. That sounds commonsensical, isn't it? Yes, but a lot of us don't live in the reality of that understanding. There's a limit to what the enemy can do. The enemy is not omnipotent. The enemy does not know all things. He cannot do all things. And the last time I checked in scripture, it says to resist the devil. And what will happen? He'll flee from you. There is nobody that can do ministry and succeed if that person does not have that virtue that is called resilience. Many times the enemy will come to query the very foundations of what you believe in God. Many times. The enemy will come to query the very basis upon which you thought your life is based. And every time that enemy comes, you need to remind yourself again, I cannot now doubt in the dark what I heard in the light. in ministry, as part of the making, the apparatus for the making of the man of God. Discouragement is something that God allows every now and then to test the force of your conviction. God allows discouragement. God allows disappointment to test the force of your conviction, to see whether indeed you believe God's word against all odds. Because there are times that men will come with modifications to that which you have heard of the Lord. God will let them come. And it does not help. There is a certain level that you come under God. And I'm talking today because it's a serious moment. There are points in your life where it will become absolutely wrong for you to lay fleeces before the Lord. Say, God, if you want us to do this thing, then let the man bring the money. But if you don't want us to do it, then let the man not bring the money. At a certain point in your life, you would have outgrown that level of game with God. And you'll be laying fleeces to your own heart. At a certain point in your walk with God, God will expect that the guiding light for your life will become the voice of the Spirit of God in your own voice. Not a fleece that you lay out there. Any man can bring money. Any man can bring money. Sometimes when you lay that fleece, Satan will arrange the answer. But there's one thing Satan cannot arrange. Satan cannot arrange the voice of the Spirit in your heart. That small still voice, that witness of the Holy Spirit, that is your greatest asset in life and in ministry. And if you have heard God in the secret chamber of your spirit, don't subject it to the court of human opinion. You'll be faced with disappointments. You'll be faced with discouragement. God allows them to test the force of your conviction. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There are many times, I've told you stories after stories, I think, in this place. There are many times where you are at the verge of doing what you think God wants you to do. And everything around you looks like it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And at those moments, my greatest resort is to check with the one that sent me. And if I say, sir, is this going to work or not? Sometimes he tells me, obey the last command. I say, okay. And it means we're on course. It means we are going. My wife is in the house. She can bear witness. I don't have too many answers in my life, but I know the answer. I know you didn't get that. I don't have too many answers. One of the regular words that my wife hears from me a lot of times is, I don't know. Because the truth is, I don't know. I don't know many answers, but I know the one himself who is the answer. And the greatest asset in life is to be sure that even in the midst of your fire, he is with you. That's the greatest asset in life. That I can wake up in the morning and know that even if there's no food in my pocket, there's no money in my pocket, there's no food in the kitchen, I still know that I've not lost God. I'm in good company. That's all the answer I need in life. Because God will allow many of these things to come to test the force of your conviction. I was talking to somebody here recently, and I said, I may look slim as I am, but this used to be a lot worse than this. This used to be a lot worse than this. I told you in this place, I used the shoe for so long. When I stopped using the shoe, I didn't recognize that shoe. When I saw it a few months later, I didn't believe that I used that shoe in that condition. When I saw the shoe, I said, come, since the last day I dropped this shoe, has anybody else used it? No, nobody used it. With my detachment from the shoe now, 2 months later, I could not have believed that I used to wear that shoe in that condition. But I wore it to preach around this country. It didn't change anything. Don't doubt in the dark what you were told in the light. Let me tell your neighbor, keep going. Keep going. Keep going. If you hate God, keep going. Keep going. Keep going. Need that way we do it, I must have heard God. And if I've heard God, it gets done. Do you understand? It gets done. Because God will allow those things to come. So we will check whether you believe your circumstance stronger than you believe your God. So as we do this morning, because I do sense, apart from the people sitting down here for graduation today, there are a lot of dreams that have been put on hold in this house. There are a lot of people that are sitting in this place who have put their own progress on hold because they have put obedience on hold. And they put obedience on hold because they have looked more to their circumstance than to their sender. You have put obedience on hold because you look more to your circumstance than you look to your sender. Your sender is not unaware of your circumstance when he sent you. Your sender is not unaware of your background when he sent you. Your sender is not unaware of your bank account when he sent you. If God sent you, it's an insult on his majesty to allow other considerations to take precedence and to decide whether you obey or not. How can you take something from the court of his majesty and bring it for consideration to the court of circumstance? I think I told you in this place when we went to Uganda in December. I went with the entirety of my family. All of us went. That's quite a number. We are quite a clan, you know. That's five. That's five heads. And a week before we were supposed to travel, we had not booked our flight because there was no money. And I needed, for me and the four of them, we needed at least ₦1,000,000 to be able to make that trip, to pay for our tickets. And almost everybody else that was going to go on that trip had not raised 50% of their ticket, let alone what we will eat. But every day I kept asking God, is this trip, is it in the plan? He said, yes. Is it still there? He said, yes. Okay. So we kept making all the arrangements. You see, everything, I didn't need money to do emails. I didn't need monies to make phone calls. There were a lot of things I could do. Do you understand? Don't let the things that you cannot do stop you from doing the ones you can do. So the things we can do is to arrange. We can make the call. We can draft the program, isn't it? We can write the letter. Everything that we could do that we didn't need effort to do, we were doing it. Because I'm not going to expect God to do that one. I will expect God to give me money to travel. But there were things I could do right now. Those were the things we did. But you know, many of you are waiting for everything to come together. Let's see how it will happen. No, we kept going like that. In fact, at some point there was a suggestion. Why not leave the children behind? And I said, well, what kind of challenge does God have? Is it more difficult for God to raise money for two than it is to raise money for five? Or is it more difficult for him to raise money for five than it is for him to raise money for two? Maybe you do not know. There's no difference between ₦5 and ₦5,000,000 before God. I hope you know. No, many of you actually don't know. Many of you don't know. The same way that you calculate your salary, you know how you expect money. And the same way that our parents brought us up. Say, look at you. You know, the way they used to tell us, advise us, counsel us, instruct us. See, you have to be careful. You need to continue to remember the kind of family you come from. Don't be thinking big. Always remember where you are coming from. Say, remember. I heard that gospel every time I was going to school. Now I wish you can hear the same gospel again. If you truly you are a Christian, I want you to remember where you are coming from. If truly you are a child of God, now I want you to remember where you are coming from. Are you with me? Remember where you are coming from. God does not need to wait for the cooperative. God does not need to wait till the end of the month. There is no difficulty with God when it comes to making provision. If God says it is done, it is done. God does not expend energy in order to do anything. After God has spoken, God has done all the work God needs to do. Before God has spoken, God has not yet worked. After God has spoken, there's no more work to do. God's word is self-actualizing. The word of God is what? Is self-actualizing. The word of God is self-actualizing. Every time God speaks, God does not need to do more than he has done. By speaking, God has done everything that God needs to do. And God said, let there be light. We didn't hear, and he began to manufacture light. No. When God said, let there be light, what was the result? There was light. Inside of the word of God is the power of God to be what the word says. The first time that words were spoken, it was not for communication. It was for creation. The first time that words were spoken, it was not for communication. It was to create. It was to create. Every time God speaks, he creates. For wherever the word of the king is, there is power. I'm trying to say to you this morning, do not doubt in the dark what you heard in the light. For wherever the word of the king is, there is power. You know, we went on that trip. There was probably only one person on that trip that joined us, that we did not pay in excess of $100,000 for them to be able to buy their ticket. So that means God provided for the five of us in the family and every other person that joined us on that trip. Apart from one, there was nobody that I did not add $100,000 to their flight ticket money. And by the time we were done and we came back in January, I can't tell you how much money was in my account. But there was good pepper in my account by the time we came back. But all the period we were there, almost on daily basis, I was receiving a lot. Almost on daily basis. And the disturbing part was that at some point it turned out to be the same person. The same person drops money in the account today. 2 days later, he drops another money. 3 days later, he drops another money. And it was almost as if there was a bell ringer. Ringing bell. Said, bang is time. Bang is time. Bang 90,000. Bang 65,000. Bang 120,000. Bang 200,000. And I'm not calling arbitrary figures. It came in the line of obedience. Everything around told us, cancel this trip. Let's do it another time. But when I checked with Abba, I realized that nothing changed there. I said, if nothing has changed there, we can't change here. If he has not changed his mind, we are not going to change our plans. I charge you this morning, never you doubt in the dark what you heard in the light. God allows us to be put in trust with the gospel. It's not because we know so much. It's not because we can do so much. It's an election of grace. There's a reason why those that are close to me, they know that mercy is one of the most frequent words in my vocabulary. My life is a product of the mercy of God. My life is a product of the mercy of God. And I can tell you that His mercies, they are new every morning. Every morning. Every morning. Every morning. Allah sopanata. Every morning. I wish that you have a revelation and understanding of the mercy of God and the provisions in the spirit for your manifestation and success in time. Can I tell you, people of God, this is not about you. This is about God. The integrity, the honor, the glory of God is at stake. God cannot send and not supply. God cannot send and not supply. Don't doubt in the dark what you are told in the light. Finally, God calls us, God puts us in trust with the gospel. God allows us. There are men that the resistance they face on their path to doing ministry, the name of the resistance is God. We work for you. There are resistance. The resistance they met was God Himself. It was God that said, no, you can't. Your hand must not come near what I'm doing here. And there were other men. Now God says, come. Come. You don't know how terrible it must have felt if you were in the days of Jesus. Out of the 12 disciples of Jesus, I'm sure that at least four of them came from the same neighborhood. I'm not just saying the same town. Four of them came from the same neighborhood. That leaves 8 out of 12. If he wanted to be fair, shouldn't he have exercised some kind of federal character? If you need 12 disciples, 12 apostles, shouldn't you choose one from each tribe? Hello? No, talk back to me. He should have chosen at least one person from each tribe of Israel. James and John, were not just from the same place. They were from the same womb. You have 12 slots. You took 2 siblings from the same womb. Then there was Peter and who? And Andrew, his brother. Both of them again, from the same womb. So 2 families produced 4 disciples of Jesus out of 12. You know why? Some people have been allowed. Some people have been disallowed. Paul said, as an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. Don't let anybody look down upon you because they call you a pastor. Are you with me? Are you with me? There is nothing anybody is there that if you work hard, you cannot become. Except this one. Except this one. Even at this age, it's not too late in the day. If I want to become a medical doctor, I just need to put myself to it. If I want to, I will. If I want to become a lawyer, I will. But this one, if you are not allowed, you are not here. An election of grace. Let me close in 10 minutes. Not first John. John chapter 1 from verse 29. Very quickly now. John 1:29. The next day John said, Jesus coming unto him and said, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bore record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me. I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me. He that sent me, the same said unto me. He that sent me, the same said unto me. Don't take your calling from one and take your message from another. Don't take your calling from one and take your message from another. The same that sent me, the same said unto me. I am not only sent by God, my message is from the one that sent me. He that sent me, the same said unto me. What I'm doing now, I do it because he that sent me, the same. Let me hear you say the same. There are many men that received a genuine calling from God, but it's no longer the same God that sent them, that inspires them. They have found a secret chamber. They have found an awful chamber. They have found an illicit chamber. They have found a chamber, strange chamber, from which they derive inspiration and message. But you see, they come out as a confusion. Everybody's confused. But this man began well. Yes. Was it not the Lord that sent him? Yes. The trouble is, he's no longer the same that sent him, that now speaks to him. He's now listening to the voice of a viper. He has now become attentive to a whisperer. And I want to say to you that there are so many whisperers in our day. And many of them, they are hunting for men and women that they know carry a genuine anointing. And then they begin to tweak your message. And tweak your message. And tweak your message. And then we said they are representing Jesus. And they begin to tweak your message. And they turn the grace of our Lord Jesus into lasciviousness. They sound like one of us. They have a history with us. They know our secret. They know our language. They have been with us. They speak Christianese. Some of them once upon a time carry genuine anointing. They have a history. They have a reputation. But now they listen to a whisperer. John said, he that sent me, the same said unto me, Kama tu halaba, that God will raise men not only consistent in their calling, but consistent in their source of inspiration. He that sent me, the same said unto me. What I'm doing here comes from the same source that sent me. John the Baptist's ministry was not a combined service. It was not the aggregation of the popular things that happened in his day. He received his ministry from the Lord, and he received his message from the Lord. That man looked up to God. There was nothing like John the Baptist in the landscape at the time. But you know, even in ministry now, a lot of people, they function like Hollywood or Nollywood. Which one is Nigeria? So Nollywood. When one person becomes creative and there is a new line of movie, there will be about 16 other movies that borrows from the same plot. I don't watch them, but that's what I've heard. Borrow from the same plot, and everybody will tweak it in one way or the other. It's the same plot, until another person stumbles upon something that looks like a fresh inspiration and comes up with a fresh plot. Then another 20 movies borrow from it. It's the same thing now in ministry. When we start building 50,000 capacity, that becomes like the way that the Spirit is going. Everybody borrows from it. When the wave of university comes, including those that don't have money, we task their members, because they also must have a university. It's even possible that maybe one man heard God, build me a university. But everybody else that is building it, they are building it because somebody else built it. And if that's what you are doing, you are in error. You are carrying a load for which God did not give you a spine. You will crumble, you will self-destruct. When you attempt to carry a load upon your head for which God has not given you the spinal cord, you will self-destruct. That means you will crumble under the weight of a self-assigned load. And we may say, the Lord giveth, the Lord has taken, but we will be lying. He that sent me, the same said unto me. Men and brethren, as we present you before the Lord today, we know your history up until this point, but want to charge you. We want to charge you. Never give ear to a whisperer. Don't join the league of them that turn away from the Lord under the guise of now we know better. There were men that began fasting, praying, studying, seeking the face of the Lord to show themselves approved unto God. And a day comes upon them in ministry and they say, it is not by praying. It is not by praying. It is not by fasting. Who did this to us? A whisperer had begun to gain ground in their territory. Some of them have become so established that they can run their empires without God. And therefore, they will not even notice when they have lost the backing of His Majesty. Because their account is strong enough to foot the bill of what they now want to do. Their reputation is so well established that even if God had been absent, even if God had gone on sabbatical for 3 years, that thing will keep running, men will keep coming in, men will keep bringing money. They are bringing money to a monument, not to a movement anymore. Because the one that moved the monument has gone. And when God is gone out of his system, it becomes a monument. So long as God is there animating it, you can have a movement. But when God leaves, it becomes a monument. The danger is not just that you lose money when you contribute to a monument, is that you stagnate as a person. A monument cannot bring you into the fullness of the ordination of God for your life. If you are part of a monument, you stagnate in the spirit. You will be rigmaroling. You will change activity from activity. But your destiny will be elusive. You will never strike your destiny. Because the power, the life that animates that structure has lifted. And because it has lifted, there is no way you can be animated within that structure yourself. So that whereas that man had gone far before stagnating, you might be stagnating before you begin. He that sent me, the same. Let it be, sir, that at every point in your life that you are doing something, you will be able to look into the face of God and say, you are the one that sent me, and you are the same that put me here. That you'll be able to tell the truth to yourself, that he that sent me, the same said unto me, build me a university. He that sent me, the same said unto me, build me a 100-seater auditorium. He that sent me, the same said unto me, preach this message. God has not called us to be reactors. Are you with me? God has not called us to be reactors. The one that sent us, he has not stopped speaking. If you have ears to hear, I can assure you that the Spirit is still speaking. Therefore, there will be no need at any point for you to become creative. Because the one that spoke in the beginning, he is still speaking. He that has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. What the Spirit says to the church. The one that spoke in the beginning, he is still speaking. And the Bible says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Maybe you do not know, there are times that the word of God proceeds from the mouth of the devil. Oh, you don't know. But the word by which you live is not just that it's the word of God, but that it had proceeded from the mouth of God. Have you heard wisdom is profitable to direct before? Huh? When you hear that from the mouth of the serpent, run. Run. You didn't get what I just said. When God is saying, go, and everything looks difficult, and a whisperer comes and says, you want to go? You say, yes. He said, have you not read? Wisdom is profitable to direct. At that point, what should you do? Run, run. When the word of God is proceeding from the mouth of the devil, run. You have to first verify whose word it is. Then the next test is, where is it proceeding from? Because there are many smooth talkers, according to scriptures, who have gone out there into the world. Smooth talkers, smooth talkers, smooth talkers. Satan knows the Bible more than every one of us seated in this place. Satan can recite scripture from Genesis to Revelation. And so part time, he can bring scripture out of context to you. So it's not just that it is written in the Bible, but that it is proceeding from the mouth of the Lord to you at such a time as this. Let your life be run on the basis of the proceeding word of God. He that sent me, the same said unto me. Mama, I know it was God that sent you, but I don't know who you are listening to right now. Because there's a woman in this place that God is about to scatter your marriage. And it is because of who you are listening to. You know, you have personal testimonies and encounters. How God came to you. How that this marriage is of the Lord. But right now you are listening to someone. And the person comes to you in the garb of God. In the garb of Christianity. In the garb of even a minister. Oh! The person comes to you in the garb of an intercessor. I just speak. He's a praying person. But I can assure you that he's not the same person that sent you that is speaking through that woman. That's the same way that many people have become misfits in life and in destiny. Because one person sent them, but another person now speaks to them. It's confusing, and you can deceive the undiscerning. And I see a lot of people on TV. And when I see this, I say, that man carrying fire. Then I go and listen. I say, well, I don't know who sent the man, but I know who the man is speaking for. I may not be able to doubt. I may not say God didn't send him, but I know that he's not speaking for God. You know, I can send you from here to go someplace, and you can decide to modify my message in transit. I gave you transport fare with a message to go to Abuja. You can decide to modify my message in transit. So it will be true that I was the one that sent you. But the message you will be delivering at the end of the day will not be the message with which I sent you, the message on account of which I gave you transport fare. There are a lot of ministries that are funded. They are funded, but they are using the resources that God gave to them to execute another man's mission. And on this morning, I want to speak to everyone. Whatever your level is, if God called you, let him lead you. Are you here? If God called you, let him lead you. You did not call a committee to get married. Don't call a committee to stay in there. Are you with me? Are you with me? God said to you to go someplace. God gave you instruction. If God sent you, don't take a calling of God and run it on the steam of men. Don't listen to a whisperer to execute the mandate of God. That was a mistake that Adam made. It was God that sent Adam into the garden. But at the day and at the time that Adam began to take instructions from another, instruction that was sponsored from the belly of hell, it came from the mouth of his closest confidant, but it was not of the Lord. But the last Adam, when the last Adam stood, and his closest confidant came to him and said, Master, let it never be heard from your mouth that you are going to die. It will not happen as long as we are here. Jesus looked at him. Get thee behind me, Satan. And as he is, so are we in this world. When it comes to your ordination and your calling, don't negotiate it. It doesn't matter whose mouth is coming from. Don't take to the court of public opinion what you heard from the court of His Majesty. He that sent me, the same at every day of your life, may it be that you can wake up and say, where I am right now, He that sent me, the same got me to this place. So long as you are there, it doesn't matter. Let hell and men, let them gather. Let hell and men conspire against you. A man that is in the will of God is a puzzle. Not even Lucifer himself can unravel. A man that is sent of God. You see, some of us, we are not very strong. One of the greatest defense that some of us have in life and in ministry is staying where God called us. It's very easy. It's very easy to ask God to take responsibility if God is responsible indeed. Do you understand? You can ask God to take responsibility if God indeed is responsible. But you cannot ask God to fund a mission that is self-organized. If you embark on a journey of your own making, God is not accountable. God cannot be held responsible for your safety. But so long as you stay there, you can look up to the one that kept you there, because the honor of His name and of His majesty is at stake. And God will move anything that needs to be moved. God will rake heaven, He will comb hell to make sure that a man that is in His will is preserved and sustained. He that sent me, the same said unto me. Can you bow your heads? Can you bow your heads this morning? It's a graduation service. And so I speak to this house this morning as to ministers, men and women that are called. And the first thing we said to ourselves this morning is, do not doubt in the dark what you heard in the light. So right now, can you exhume? By exhume, I mean, can you retrieve, can you dig up everything that God said to you that you are in the course of burying? Some of you have already dug a tomb to bury an ordination that you received from God because of circumstances and challenges. This morning, the first charge to us is, do not doubt in the dark what you heard in the light. So right now, every man, every woman under the sound of my voice, buried dreams, buried visions must come to life again. Buried dreams, buried visions must come to life again. If you need to apologize, if you need to repent, it's a good time to repent. You have no right to bury something that God has not announced its obituary. You have no right to bury anything that God has not announced its obituary. You have no right to throw away because darkness came, something that was delivered to you in the light. You have no right. You have absolutely no right to doubt in the dark what you heard in the light. Let it come alive. There's a covenant between you and God. Can you go back to the place of that altar this afternoon? Some of you, it's been 1 year, 6 months, but you need to go back to that altar this morning. God has not changed His mind. You have no right to change yours. Maybe it was a business. Maybe it was a venture. Maybe it was a spiritual project. I don't know what the Lord asked you to do. And you came and told brethren, and they slighted it. And because they slighted it, you let it pass. You came and told brethren, and they told you it's not possible. And because they said it's not possible, you let it slide. That's why you never feel fulfilled. That's That's why it looks like God has abandoned you. That's why it looks like you are not flourishing. If you are out of the garden, you cannot flourish. If you are out of the garden, you cannot flourish. The men and women that are graduating today, will you make a special covenant with the Lord? I will not doubt in the dark what you have said to me in the light. Your encounters with God are some of the most prized possessions that you have in the spirit. Treasure your encounters. Treasure your encounters. Treasure your covenant with the Lord. Treasure your covenant with the Lord. They are some of the most prized possessions that you have in the journey of faith. When the wind is contrary, it is to test the force of your conviction. I will not doubt in the dark what I've been told in the light. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Finally, he that sent me, the same. That at every living moment of your life, it will be the same. That he that sent you will be the same. When you have become rich, he will still be the same. When ministry has exploded, it will still be the same. When you have become married, it will still be the same. That your life will be available only to the same. Inspiration will come from the same. Ideas will come from the same. Motive will come from the same. Resources will come from the same. That at every point in your life, you'll be able to look into the face of God and say, I am what I am by the grace of God. Because he that sent me, the same, is responsible for what I have become. Can you pray one moment? Lord, keep me true to the same. Keep me true to the same. Keep me faithful to the same. 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 The pressure to get married will not take me away from the same. The pressure to grow a ministry will not take me away from the same. The pressure to get rich will not take me away from the same. The pressure to become famous, to become popular, will not take me away from the same. He that sent me, he that sent me, he that sent me, he that sent me, the same, 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 he that sent me, the same. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I live for Jesus day after day. I live for Jesus. Let come what may, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit. I will obey. I will obey. Yeah, I live for Jesus day after day. Two more times, I live for Jesus. Day after day. Let come the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus. Yes. One more time I live for Jesus. Day after day. Oh yes. The Holy Spirit, I will obey. Spirit, I will obey. Yeah, I live for Jesus. Yeah, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, I will I live for Jesus. The Holy Spirit, I will, I live for Jesus. Can I ask all the graduates to come out? Can I ask all the graduates to come out? We need to combine your prayers now so we can. I live for Jesus. Let come what may, the Holy Spirit, I will obey. I live for Jesus, day after day. All the graduates, you need to sing this song as your commitment before we pray for you. It's a solemn commitment. Let come what may. The Holy Spirit, I will obey. I live for Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I want to pray for the graduates. And those of us at the back at this moment, I want you to join us to pray for these men and women. So they alone are going to sing that song 2 times. And then our team of ministers here will lay hands upon them as the Lord leads us. And then we'll pray for them. As they take this oath, this song they are singing is their first oath this day. I want you to pray for them that God will give them grace. That they will not be singing a lie. Those of you at the back, I want you to pray for this man as they sing, I live for Jesus. After they sing it the second time, the choir will keep singing and then the ministers will come now and begin to pray for them. So let's sing. I live for Jesus. Only the graduates now. Day after day. The church of God, can you pray for this man? Can you stretch out your hands? The Holy Spirit, I will obey. Day after day. One more time. From your heart, from your heart, from your heart. From your heart. Let come what may. The Holy Spirit, I will obey. It's a promise. It's a covenant. It's a commitment. Yeah. We cannot pray for them. Yeah. I live for Jesus. Day after day.
I'm not afraid to die. Thank you.